Blog Talk Radio.
Hey. 1, 2, 1, 2.
You're listening to the Morning Glory International Voice of Hope with Minister Kim, providing you with that gleam of hope. Good morning, Voices of Hope, family and friends. This is your host, Minister Kim, coming to bring you a gleam of hope for the entire family. We have something for everyone. So I invite you to tune in every Saturday morning with us. And I know, the weather seems weak outside, but our hearts are full of gleaming hope to bring you this day. Last week's show was amazing with Radio Angel and our pastor, Dr. Thomas S. Cooper, who brought us a gleam of hope pertaining to trusting in the integrity of God. If you happen to miss any portion of that episode, you need to definitely tune in today as you are shutting in. Amen. Go to www.themorningglory.org and check it out and let us know what your feedback is. And if you have any additional information, as we were talking about trust and integrity, God, you can definitely email us at hope@themorningglory.org. Well, we are truly excited and grateful for you for your weekly support. It is a blessing to have your support as you listen in each week, as you give us inspiration and email us what's going on and how we have benefited you and your financial support to keep us on the radio. We ask that you take this time to be a blessing to someone without a coat, a pair of gloves, a scarf, and a hat this winter. If you would like to donate to us, you may go to our website, again, at www.themorningglory.org, and we'll definitely put your name, amen, in a note as we give out to those in our local communities that are without this winter. Amen. Today we have an awesome show, as always, and our topic today is walk in love. How are we walking in love? How are we walking in love when we see so much violence and hatred abroad? I believe that the best example of it is Jesus Christ. Today we have with us Prophetess Shalona Treasure, the treasurer, Williams McClement here, who knows too well what homelessness, brokenness, and hopelessness looks and feels like. This woman has have her own story to share with us. But before we ask Radio Angel to take us higher, I want to read something to you today. As again, I said that we are mostly home because of the climate weather, so I definitely want to give you a boost of love today, an encouraging word that will be coming out of the book of Ephesians chapter 5, verse 2. It says, walk in love as Christ also hath walked in love. Amen? And have given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling Savior. Amen. The first thing you notice when you meet the living Christ is his perfected, overwhelming love for you. Amen. It is breathtaking. You are rendered speechless, pressed to the ground under the weight of his mercy, and do no other than surrender your all to him. What is real love? Love is an action word. It is unconditional. You love even in a sacrifice. Amen. You love when you see others in need. You reach out and give back. Amen. When others are mocking you and throwing dots at you, you turn the other cheek and you still stretch your hand out and give love. We all have fallen short in this area of our lives, but I challenge you as we end the winter climate weathers that you reach out and help somebody, help them, guide them, give them resource information, feed them, clothe them, whatever there is a need, hopefully that God has sent you to make it happen for them. Amen. We all about making it happen, not talking about it, but being about our Father's business. Now, radio angel can take us higher. Okay, did we lose Radio Angel this morning? I believe so. So let me just take us higher today.
Yes, Jesus. Come on, you can praise him. Come on, you can praise him. Hallelujah. And God, we, your people, are going to be obedient. As you decree, let everything that have breath give you the praise and give you the glory. Yes, God. We're so unworthy, Lord, but we stand in your presence. This is the every. This is the air I breathe. Your holy presence living in me. Very air we breathe. He gave it to us. We didn't buy it. Come on, God. Come on, lift your hands to him and tell him. It's your presence, Lord, your Holy Spirit that dwells on the inside of us, leading us and guiding us into all truth. Thank you, Lord, for it. We thank you for the gift. And not only that, when we talk about your word, it's my daily bread. It's what I long for. And God, you said, he who hungers and thirsts after righteousness shall be filled. This verse just says, your very word. Come on, tell him today. Come on, say, spoken. This is the part that I love to declare. It says, it's, and now, listen to these words. It says, I'm desperate for you.
Are you desperate for the Lord today? Amen. In your situation, you need to be desperate for God because he's truly going to show up and show out in your life. We want to welcome those who just joined in today on the Morning Glory International Voices of Hope. This is your host this morning, Minister Kim and Radio Angel driving this train. Amen. I don't know where we're going to stop at, but we're going to stop somewhere because of the weather on the outside. But that does not make our heart cold. We still got a warm heart. We're still here to give you a gleam of hope today. So today's topic is all about walking in love and having the love of Christ, not only for yourself and your loved ones, but extend yourself to others. We have an awesome woman of God who's definitely going to minister to us. She's going to give us just some rays of sunshine, amen, some light on some of us who have experience or currently are in experience of dealing with homelessness, amen. Just because you got it going on don't mean that you don't know somebody that's really homeless, amen. It could be your coworker, amen. You don't know where she go after the end of a shift. But guess what? There are so many families, especially single mothers, who are homeless with their children on the street, begging daily for just some coins to get their children something to eat. So today we have no other than Prophetess Shalona Treasure Williams McClement here, and she's definitely going to tell us her story and help us help you know someone who is homeless that can get some help today. Without further ado, we want to welcome the treasurer here with us today. Good morning, Shalona. How are you?
Good morning, Minister Kim. I'm awesome. How are you?
I am wonderful. It's just such a pleasure to have you here this morning.
Indeed, it is a pleasure to be here. It's almost like a reunion, huh?
Yes, it is. It is. It's a family reunion.
Come on.
Yes, it is. We go way back, family. From Praying Moms, so shout out to Praying Moms. That's still in existence. Amen. Every Monday night,
amen,
we have our moms that come together. But that's how we initially met, through Lucinda Cross, the activator today. Amen. Mm-hmm. And I believe that, so when we met, amen, you were going through your process, amen, of feeling mm-hmm. hopeless, broken, and you were homeless at that time, amen. And I remember many nights the women, your sisters, would just pour into you to encourage you to hold on. And I'm just excited that you will come back each week to just get more, to be fed more. And this is the end result of what you have been going through, amen. And I thank God that now you're here on the other side with your hands mm-hmm. stretched out to help others. So it's amazing what God takes us through, amen, so we could be a testimony to help others. So I bow my head to you and say thank you. Thank you for sharing and caring about others today.
Amen, amen. Amen. God bless you.
God bless you. So tell us a little bit about you, Treasurer, because that's what I remember you as, the Treasurer. Treasurer, Treasurer Williams is coming on. Tell us a little bit about your story. I know it, but, you know, the audience here might not know, and we do have a lot of viewers on today, so I want to thank God for those who are on the switchboard and those who are tuned in on social media. So tell us a little bit about your story.
Amen. As you mentioned, while we were in connection, when I was doing Praying Moms with Lucinda, it was so uncomfortable sometimes to be able to just really fellowship without mm-hmm. feeling, you know, burdened down, because it was a process of going through, at the same time still giving God glory and still mm-hmm. staying present in the moment and being able to encourage and minister to other people. At the time, I believe, when I first came on the show, we talked about my old book. I was actually officially homeless, but I was staying with my mom, with my children, mm-hmm. in a small place. And then it was time to shift. It was time to move, and we did that. We moved on the other side of town and had a roommate for a while. But the situation that I was in was not, first of all, it was not of God. It was not something that I needed to be in. And during a part of the process, I just asked God to deliver me, you know. And mm-hmm. sometimes we have this thought that God is going to deliver us the way we think He is, and we think that everything is going to be all peaches and cream, and it's going to be just wonderful, the deliverance. But sometimes the deliverance is unexpected. It's unexpected. And it just so happened that my deliverance from that current situation was going to the homeless shelter. And it may not make sense to most people, but I wrote about it in From Trash to Treasure, the new book, that the deliverance sometimes don't make sense. And so we ended up having to go to a shelter, which took me out of the situation so that I could really mm-hmm. focus on God. So yeah, it really, you know, like I said, might not make sense to some, but it was a form of deliverance for me. But it was a mm-hmm. whole nother process in itself, a whole nother process in itself. So being homeless for 2 years, with started out with 4.5 children, because I had 4 mm-hmm. already, and then I was pregnant by the time I left this situation. So you kind of can't guess what the situation was, and I was mm-hmm. pregnant again this time. So here, you know, me and my 4 children and a baby at a homeless shelter, and going through the process of living pretty much hand to mouth, just trying to make it from day to day. And during this experience, mm-hmm. I experienced all kinds of people who actually lived on the street, people who had to scrape and scruffle for their food. And I ate at the homeless shelters, you know, when they had the meals, you had to know their schedule, you know what I mean? Okay, this place is feeding at this time, this is place is feeding lunch at this time, and then it's going to be dinner at this time, then we got to be to the shelter at this time, and you know, you had to have that thing on lock.
Right,
it was definitely... Yeah, it was definitely an experience. It was definitely, I won't say that it wasn't a blessing, though. And I think that sometimes when people go into a homeless situation, all we know about is the burden, and all we know about is what is not happening. I kind of dare people to really see it from a different perspective, first of all. And second of all, when you're in a place where you're in a shelter or you're in a place where people are helping you, just consider that somebody has it a little bit worse than you. The person who has to sleep outside, even when there's when it's rain and when it's snow and when it's hail and when it's all type of things happening, there are those who don't get the luxury of being inside a covering. So we at least had that grace. And indeed, it was an experience. It was an experience. Mm-hmm.
And you topped it off with so much information and just sharing your own and being transparent with us. But, you know, I can't even imagine myself with my kids going from one home to another home and then saying, you know what, this is not good. We got to get out of here, and making that final decision to go into a shelter system, right? Humbling yourself, going into a shelter system with your four children and expecting another. And actually, you don't even know what's the outcome. There has to be a level of trust in God. You know, there has to be a level of saying, okay, God, I know I shouldn't be here, right? I know your grace and mercy is upon me, so I'm going to step out on faith, and I'm going to believe that this is where you're leading me with my family. Now, even in the midst of this transitioning, how was you able to minister and nurture and let your children know that mommy got you, I'm going to protect you, because now you're living among strangers. You're living among strangers. So how was that process, too, for the children? Because they were going through their own process.
They were indeed. And, you know, the interesting part about that is God, he really set the whole thing up, to be honest with you, because when it was time for me to leave the other situation, it really was a matter of all other doors being shut. So it was not an option, really, of where we were going to go. It wasn't that my family didn't love me. It's just that they didn't have space for all of us, and they didn't have, you know, we could have slept on the floor, I guess, and we could have, you know, tried to scrape by. But when you're talking about, you know, four children, two adults, three adults and some change, and, you know, just trying to pile in, it was really a matter of all doors being shut. So we didn't really have an option as to go to the shelter. But what was so interesting is that when we got to this particular shelter, and I did my little crying, you know, I had my little tears when I was sitting in the office talking to Deacon Carlos about where we were gonna get placed, and you know, it was really difficult. But when we walked inside the Salvation Army, the first lady, she looked at us and she said, "Oh, okay, well, grab your bags and let's go." And of course, that kind of struck a nerve with me, because I'm like, oh, my goodness, here we go. And there's no compassion. People, we become just a number again to people. But my daughter, she was, oh, goodness, this is about 3 years or so. So she was about 11 at the time. She's usually the one who's mostly apprehensive about everything, kind of standoffish. But she looked at me and she said, "Mommy, I like the spirit in this place." And so when she said that to me, it kind of made me stand up within myself, suck up whatever emotions I had going on, because all the other kids, they kind of they're used to just being with mommy. So as long as they had mm-hmm. me, they were okay. But she's the one that's kind of like, I don't want to do this. What's going on? Mm-hmm. You know, the one with the attitude. So
right.
When she
so,
looked at me and said,
what are we doing now, mommy? What are we doing? Where are we going? Where are you taking me?
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. But she, when she said that to me, I knew that God had graced us for this time. So I guess at this point I have to emphasize how important it is to have a relationship with God and how important it is to be able to trust that every situation, no matter what it seems like, is a part of his divine plan for me. So, you know, when I look at the situation, I don't see, you know, that it was just a mess. I see that God had his hand in it somehow, and I had to figure out what that was.
Definitely. God definitely had a hand. And when we come back on the Morning Glory International, we're going to talk about, because when we talk about shelters visually, we think about cots and there's open space and there's cots all over, and you just have to get in at a certain time to get your to reserve your cot. Or if it's a family shelter, sometimes they are apartments and you are sharing, you know, a 1 to 2 bedroom with your family, but there are other families there and they are totally strangers and you don't know what their walk was like because everybody's not walking with Christ. And also we want to talk about what are some of the triggers of being homeless. Jelana Treasure, the treasure. Oh my God, you are with us today. I'm so excited to reconnect with you again. Thank God for reconnection. When we come back on the Morning Glory International Voices of Hope, we'll be right back.
I dare you.
I dare you to change the world.
Yeah, you, getting that college education.
I dare you to be somebody important.
Like be a teacher.
Or a reality TV star.
I dare you to stand up here.
To call the shots.
To be a role model.
An inspiration.
An innovator.
To be a teacher.
Be my teacher.
Think you can change my life?
Make me excited about science like you?
Have a career that really means something?
Then do it.
I dare you. I dare you.
I dare you.
I'm waiting.
Okay. Welcome back. Again, this is your host, Minister Kim, and I hope you are enjoying the first segment of our show. As we talk about walking in love, we have the Shalona, amen, treasure here with us today. We reconnected, met her, so what, 2 or 3 years ago on Praying Minds with Activator Lucinda Cross, and here we are now on the other side of the spectrum, amen, her process, amen, where God has led her to. We want to talk about today about homelessness and how we can be an inspiration to those who are homeless. And Shalonda, we talked about earlier your experience from leaving from your mother's house, going into another situation, and knowing that that other situation wasn't healthy for you or your children. 4 children, 1 on the way, you go into a shelter. Amen. Salvation Army, shout out to the Salvation Armies around the globe. Amen. Today, yes. But now, you know, when I think about homelessness, I think about, you know, cots in this open space, you know, facility, and there's cots, and you have to be in by a certain time to regain a cot. And just because you're there doesn't mean necessarily that you will have to get that. And then there's also the apartment shelters. You know, after you approve, you can be relocated, you know, to another borough. Your children have to now transfer to another school. So there's a lot of processing. There's a lot of adjustment that you as a mom, a family have to deal with. And one of the things that you said was you have to have a relationship with God. There has to be some form of trust in God in this type of process. So what happens, because you're now dealing with your not-for-profit organization, you're now in a different scope, right? But in that situation that you was in, looking at others, that you run across people who had faith or did not have faith, you know, what happens there? Because homelessness has no respect of person. You know what I'm saying? What's happening in the shift? Because you got multimillionaires that one day everything is gone and they become homeless. You have people that have a fire and they lose everything. They become homeless. You have people who get divorced or come out of an abusive relationship. And there's so many reasons why people become homeless. But what about the faith? What's the difference between those who say, you know what, I'm going to take my family and go into a shelter, and those who want to stay out in the street in this climate weather, because there are some out right now out in the street and it's snowing on them. What's the difference? Let's talk about that.
Okay, yeah, that's extremely, oh my goodness, it's crazy when you begin to talk to people and hear their stories. First of all, there are some people who just don't want to be involved with the system at all. Some of them have already had some experiences. They were not the best experiences. So you hear some stories and you're like, wow. Yeah, you just continue to thank God for his mercy, because some of these women have been in shelters and been violated by others who are there. Because you do have to remember that sometimes when you go into these shelter situations, you're going in there with people who have addictions. You're going in there with people who are mentally ill that don't take their meds.
Yeah.
You're going in there with people who have left situations where they were being hurt and abused, and so now they're angry, they're mad, and they want to abuse others because they just don't feel good about themselves. And so, yes, you have such a different dynamic, oh my goodness, of people who are in these situations. And so some of them don't want to be messed up in the system because they've been treated unfairly. Some of them can't go back because of a violation, because of something that they've done. And a lot of the shelters don't tolerate alcohol and drug use, and so a lot of them don't want to come in because they don't want to give up their vices, what they're using. And you also have those who are just they simply just don't want to go into a shelter. They choose to be outside, and it may seem weird. But for whatever reason, because they may not tell you, oh, whatever the reason is, but they just don't want to go indoors. They prefer to be outside where they can be free to do whatever they choose.
Right, right, right. Well, you know, in the field that I am, as a substance abuse specialist, and I do have clients who either, you know, they're transitioning from reentry from prison. Some of them have trust issues, and they feel that they're safer outside than inside, because there's trust issues that they deal with. So you have different reasons why people will. Well, whether it's the mental health, the addiction, the trust issues, that they choose to be out on the street. They feel that they're more safe, which for me is insane, but this is where their family is at. And how then do you, as an individual, coming to show God's love, to show the mercy of God, give them the resources, now break those barriers, you know, because those are barriers.
Right.
Those are walls that are up and within them. And you know, like right now with the storm here, like there's no way I would want you to be out in the cold. You know, I can't pass you along my road and think that it's okay for you to be out there. You can die out there. And many homeless people and families die out in the cold. You know, whether they rape, you know, all types of abuses, things that are going on. But again, what happens? Does the faith of God dwindles because something happened along their journey? And I don't, like, I'm trying to, you know, give a vivid picture so that those who are listening understand that I want you to still gravitate towards them. I want you to still try to break those walls, you know, still minister to them, still show them love, still say, here's a coat, here's some gloves, here's a quarter, here's a dollar, go get something to eat, let me feed you. Right, here's something for you. You know what I'm saying? You might not be there where you want to come inside, but while you out here, I still want to make sure that you're being provided for.
Right, right, indeed. And inside the shelter, God knows, inside the shelter, there was a lot of ministering going on. I'm going to tell you, it was so intense because I did transfer from the Salvation Army to an apartment living homeless shelter within a few weeks. But by the time I left the Salvation Army, there were people lined up on the walls to say goodbye to me and my children. And the misconception, I did think that it was going to be just this big open space and, you know, a bunch of beds inside this one little space. But we actually had two different rooms, and they were bunk beds set up in both rooms for women and for children. And so we slept in those. But there was such a connection with some of the people. And it got to the point, honestly speaking, where some of the young women, they begin to love me so much that they would would begin to bring other people to me to pray for and to encourage and to love on. And so it was definitely important to keep my faith during the time because it was a lot of discouraging moments. But when I would go out and I had to eat with the people who slept outside and be able to minister to them and love on them, you know, one of the hardest things is to hug on a person who hasn't had a shower in a month, or who is completely discouraged about their whole situation, think themselves worthless, like they don't need anyone, like they like they just can't trust people and they don't want to be involved with anyone. But what I've come to know is that even them, regardless of what happens with them, they need love and they want you to embrace them. They want you to give them kind words. So for those of you who are out there and you simply look past a homeless person, let me share this experience, just one experience with you for a minute, because it really touched me. I'm kind of thinking about it right now, but homelessness doesn't have a face. You can be dressed GQ. Because we still dressed fine because we had clothes. We washed. We had a habit of making sure we were still groomed well. But we used to go to the McDonald's right up the street from the Salvation Army, and I remember being in there one day with one of my friends that I met there, and we were on her computer looking for different things to help us in what we were doing. And we got our little coffee and a little sandwich and sat down and ate. And you can sit in there pretty much as long as you want, as long as you're eating something or drinking something. But I remember another homeless person coming in, but they did not look like us. They were, you know, of course, they were dingy, they were dirty, they hadn't washed in a while, and they wanted to get them some coffee. They got them some coffee and sat down. But after a few minutes, the people, of course, were on their tail and, you know, and badgering them and telling them, oh, you just can't sit here all day, or you can't do this, you can't do that, and you need to get out, you need to go. And it's drizzling, it's raining outside. Most of them are just trying to find some place to be inside for a second. But that experience really opened up my heart in a whole nother way, because the way we treat people, regardless of how they look, regardless of what you think about their situation, regardless of whether you think that they need to do more or not, they don't deserve to be treated unfairly because you look at them as homeless. When you just served me and I was homeless, but you didn't know. So we need to get past the look of things. We need to get past the look of things and minister to the person and not to the situation.
Because homelessness has no face. We'll be back on the Morning Glory International Voices of Hope as we continue with Walking in Love. We want to talk about what triggers homelessness. Do you believe the highest rate is loss of employment or abuse at home? We'll be back on the Morning Glory International Voices of Hope.
Nominate a teen for a chance to win a $5,000 college scholarship and participate in the Coca-Cola Pay It Forward Academy. For most of us, our parents, especially our moms, are the ones who lift us up and give us opportunities. Now, you can do the same.
We always look for opportunities that we think are going to change our lives, our kids' lives, and I think that this Coca-Cola experience was one of those opportunities.
The Academy program is 3 days of mentoring, leadership training, and networking.
So it just goes to show you that whatever you're going through, whatever your circumstances, whatever you come from, your family background, you can do whatever you want to do.
I challenge each of you to be the change agent for the change that you want to see in the world.
Moms matter too, and the Academy provides practical tips and skills to better support your teen on their journey.
I was so pleasantly surprised to see that you were constantly interacting with the guest speakers.
Oh, it was super easy to nominate him. I would say apply. Do it today.
To nominate a teen for a chance to win a $5,000 college scholarship and participate in the Pay It Forward Academy, simply go to coke.com/payitforward.
Welcome back. I hope you're enjoying the show as I am, as we are shining a ray of light on the epidemic of homelessness in our nation. Amen. We have one who can share from her own experience, Shalona Treasure Williams McClement, who shared earlier in the show her experience, amen, with her four children, baby on the way, and had to go into the shelter. And today she's on the other side, giving us that gleam of hope that we do not walk by a homeless person and do not offer, amen, to give help, because it's all about showing love. So, John, I had this question, amen, and I'm opening up the mics for those who want to comment today. The line is open. If you're online, you can always call in at 347-857-1295 and press our favorite number 1, and we'll definitely have Radio Angel to you in. So, racially, is it the loss of job or abuse at home that tends to lead to individual or families being homeless in our nation?
Well, of course, there's a great combination, but the majority of the people that I've encountered, it's been some sort of a financial burden, some financial issue, maybe a mismanagement of money that has caused it, a loss of job. It could be anything. And honestly, one of the ladies that was at the shelter with me, she worked there actually, and she told me, she said, hey, we can't judge your situation because most of us are just a paycheck away from being homeless ourselves.
That means
because within the system of housing and things like that, people who are selling houses and renting houses, they don't really have people in mind. You know, they have themselves in mind. So when they set the prices for their rent and all this other stuff in the mortgages, they're not really considering the fact that most people's jobs don't pay them enough to be able to sustain a life. And so, yeah, a lot of them, it was a financial issue. It was some admitted to a mismanagement of money. A lack of job, because if you remember, this was one of the worst times in America for unemployment. So a lot of people were searching for jobs, couldn't find jobs. And yes, you also have those who were just in abusive situations that were trying to push past what they were going through. And, you know, honestly, some of them, they were so not enjoying the homelessness experience that they went right back into their other situation, which was definitely not better. But because of the idea we have of the time that we spend homeless, they just chose to go back to those situations. So there's really a big variety of reasons why people are homeless.
Yes, yes. And statistically, it says 35%. Individuals are homeless due to loss of job. Loss of employment is the number one reason why people are homeless. And the next one that comes is, like you said, finances. Bills are higher than earnings. You know, your rent, your mortgage is higher. You know what I'm saying? The cost of living is higher than your earnings. And then 13% goes to the evicted by family members. Some family members put you out. You know, a discord, you know, the agreement has changed, there's an adjustment in the family, the size of the family, so that can happen. And abuse was number 11, and so is incarceration. And the portion, too, that I was looking at on this will is what triggers homelessness is also people who are sick, disabled, and mental illness. Amen. 10% of people who are out there, and those are the 10% that we might be running into every day. This is the 10% of people that we avoid because they look sick, right? They look sick.
Right.
They're talking to themselves, like you said. You can smell them. Amen. As you get close to them, you know they haven't bathed themselves or anything. They scratch, and you're like, nah, I don't want to touch them. But those are the ones that we need to reach out and touch. Those are the ones that you need to be reaching out to because they need help. They need a place that they can take a bath, they can, you know, sleep in a bed, get some warmth, and also get some mental health services. Just trying to help the people today, right? Let's help each other today. Let's show love today. Now, Shalom, you have done miraculously, and I'm so excited about your road, amen, where God has led you from just saying, yes, I'm going to submit. I'm going to get out of this situation, and I'm going to submit myself my family and I, we're going to go into the shelter. You was able, while in your product of going through a process, you were also ministering to others. Amen. You ministered to others. And with that, you have an awesome organization. It's a non-for-profit organization that you birthed, amen, 2 years ago in 2014. So we definitely want you to come back as we go to our commercial break, and we want you to talk about your new adventure and what God is doing in your adventure, which is called Love Walk Outreach Ministries. Amen. We'll be back on the Morning Glory International Voices of Hope.
God,
remember, the lines
Pastor
are open.
Thomas S. Cooper. Sometimes life can seem like a puzzle, so many pieces not knowing where they fit. We know someone who can help you master this puzzle. Jesus is and will always be the answer. I want to take this time to invite you to join us each Sunday morning at Kingdom Life Temple. We're located at 3030 Jerome Avenue in the Bronx, New York, between Bedford Park Boulevard and 204th Street. Our service time is Sunday morning, 9:45 a.m., and we also offer children's ministry during our main worship service and our midweek service on Wednesdays at 7:30 p.m., also offering our teen Bible study. We'd love to see you in the place. We have a saying at our church, one voice, one sound, one family, one love. God bless you, and I look forward to seeing you this Sunday.
Welcome back. That was Dr. Thomas S. Cooper, our pastor from Kingdom Life Temple. Amen. Inviting you to fellowship with us this Sunday at 9:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time at 3030 Jerome Avenue right here in the Bronx. So please, before you leave your homes, please look at the weather on the outside and use wisdom. Amen. In this season, we have to use wisdom. And this is why we bring in a ray of hope, amen, some sunlight on what is taking place in our nation, in our own communities, in our own backyard. We have individuals who are homeless. You know, our guest today, Shalana, she said it very plain. You know, homelessness doesn't have a face. It could be anyone. You just don't know what people are dealing with. And the reason why, because we don't take time out to connect with people that we pass along our walk each and every day. But I thank God for you, Shalana. I thank God for what God has put in your belly and allowed you to birth. Amen. You birthed four wonderful children, but you also birthed this not-for-profit organization called Love Walk Outreach. Can you shed some light on your not-for-profit organization and how you assist with the homeless, the broken, and the hopeless today?
Amen. Well, God definitely birthed out a ministry, and the main part of the ministry, of course, is encouragement, inspiration for people. But we also, the goal is to help homeless young women. While I was at the shelter, I gained some children, some extra children, a couple of sisters, but they were all between the ages of 17 and like 25. And what I come to know, we didn't talk about this demographic of homeless people, but a lot of these young women, they may have been rebellious, you know, at home, or they may have felt like, oh, I can do this by myself, or, you know, they went into situations, relationships, and it didn't work out. And then they get into these situations with the bad attitudes, with the bad feelings, with the feelings of worthlessness. I don't fit, I'm an outcast, things like that. And so God gave me a heart for them. He gave me a heart for the homeless young women who may repeat this cycle again later if someone does not reach out to them and give them hope and give them faith and allow them to see what God wants for them, as opposed to just going from shelter to shelter and things like that. So with this, we want to eventually, and our ultimate goal is to build buildings, transitional centers ourselves, but not just for anybody, but really to train them, to give them skills, to help them spiritually so that they don't have to repeat the cycle again. We do have, you know, of course, the resources that when people, a lot of people contact me and say, hey, how do I go through this process? So to be able to know how to go through the process, because here in Savannah, they have a circuit, you know, where you have to go through one place in order to get every place. So being able to direct people in the right direction as far as the homeless authority, who gets them into the shelters, the different places that offer showers, or the different places who feed and give Bible studies and things like that, clothes closets and stuff like that. So we direct people in the way that they should go. We are also working towards fundraising and trying to build so that we can get these different places for these women, so that they don't have to repeat, and they can be encouraged that they can really push forward and make it. Because a lot of times, you know, like I said, we don't know what they're going through in their minds. A lot of people would give up and say, hey, oh, they should know better. You need to do better, as if we never made mistakes ourselves,
right?
Because of what got me there in the first place, because of the situation I was in, I can relate way more than a lot of people can. And so they need someone to reach out and say, hey, because, you know, at the shelter, they give you a case manager and they say, okay, you have to go to this case manager, right? And then the case manager, you go to visit them and they say, okay, you need to do A, B, C, and D. And these girls are sitting there looking at them like, yeah, I don't have no experience in this. I don't have no experience with this. I don't know how to do this. How do I do these things? And so we go through a system who only gives you a number and expects you to be able to foot through everything by yourself. But the reality is that some of them do need a hand up. Some of them do need a guide for a little while. Some of them, and we know children sometimes listen to other people before they listen to their parents. And so I've become almost a surrogate mother for a lot of them to say, hey, get your act together. This is what we do. This is how you go to the school and sign up for classes. This is how you go to housing and sign up for housing. This is how you, you know, you go into an interview. This is what you do. This is what you don't do. So some people need more than just you telling them, hey, yeah, fill this out, go to the left, take a right down the hall, and you know, and then fend for yourself. So we wanted to offer a more personal, holistic approach to help these women get from I'm not worthy to okay, there's hope for me.
And you are absolutely right. Even here in New York, in the line of work that I do, you do hear, you know, my clients say, you know, they expect me to do this, but I don't even know how. You know, I just came out of jail. I don't even know how to operate a phone. I don't even know how to operate the internet, to go on Google and do a Google search. And there needs to be a line of people like you, or organizations, groups of people that will come out, whether volunteer or organizations that come and say, you know what, let me assist this individual. Let me assist this family through the process, you know, because when you are thinking, you know, my mind, I got a lot of stuff going on. I ain't got a place to stay. I'm trying to get here. Now you're telling me to do this. A lot of times clients, a barrier is car fare. A lot of times they don't even have the car fare to get from one place to the next. So now it's a financial burden right now, because they don't have the funds to get where you're asking them to go. And I really think, and I'm putting it out there right here because I'm real and I'm raw, that we don't look at the bigger picture. The system is not designed to really help in that multitude of commodity, because they don't never think about that. Like, how are you going to tell me to go somewhere that clients don't have car fare to get there?
Right.
You gotta have coffee.
It's definitely true.
You know what I'm saying?
That is true.
You gotta know who to connect with when you get there. So I'm grateful for your organization. Now, within your organization, how many people are working with you on your vision?
Well, I actually am in connection with it just so happened that the guy who helped me to get into the shelter is a deacon at my church. So we're in connection a lot. As a matter of fact, the book that I wrote, From Trash to Treasure, I dedicated that to him because he helped with the process a whole lot. And that's a part of the homeless authority. Every once in a while he'll call me and say, hey, because really the services I offer more so are for coaching and for, really helping people to see straight. So he will call contact me every now and again and say, hey, I have this woman I need you to talk to, connect with. And also I used to work at a youth shelter called Park Place. Outreach for youth, and so I'm still in connection with them to even mentor some of the young people who live there at times, and just the other connections are more not as hands-on. So, you know, if I need to call and say, hey, do you have a placement for this person or that person, it's more indirect. It's not really a connection because they're so finicky about the new upcoming nonprofits and people who say, oh, I'm helping. So they are not as helpful, but I do have those two personal connections that really help a lot when I'm trying to lead somebody in the right direction.
Awesome, awesome, awesome. Love Walk Outreach, a non-for-profit organization which seeks to inspire young women, amen, across the nation that feel that they are at a standstill, that have lost hope or who feel like giving up on life because they are homeless and because the services that they are receiving is not just taking them through the process all the way. They're giving them a number. But I thank God for you, Prophetess Shalonda Treasure Williams McClendon, who said, I'm going to come and I'm going to help. And I'm helping through my not-for-profit organization called Love Walk Outreach. Before we leave today, I want you to give us an opportunity to talk about your book. Amen. So we're going to take a quick commercial. When we come back, we're going to have a talk about From Trash to Treasures, a testimony of hopelessness, homelessness, and deliverance right here on the Morning Glory International Voices of Hope. We'll be back.
Looking for mercy, I found grace. And looking for trust, and I found all I need is faith. Looking for peace, and I found love. Looking for strength, and I found your joy was just enough to know you is, to know I have everything that I need and more. All I need is you. All I need is you.
Welcome back, family. This is your host, Minister Kim, here with my friend, Shalonda Treasure Williams, amen, McClendon, who wrote an awesome book that talks about her testimony, how God brought her through a state of homelessness, helplessness, amen. It's called From Trash to Treasures, a testimony of hopelessness, homelessness, and deliverance. You shared a lot with us today. You opened up our eyes to the homeless epidemic and how we as God's people can help. We can uplift and reach out to those who remain on the streets of New York. Our nation is in trouble when we abandon those who are down and out. Amen. For whatever reason, whether it was a loss of a job, you know, mismanagement of funds, abusive relationship, you know, whatever it was, amen, they are still God's children. And believe me, if you're trailing their road, that means that you are there to make provision for them. Amen. God doesn't make no mistakes. Amen. Before we go into the book, I heard something from Steve Harvey years ago on his radio station, and he said, you know, who are you? He said it just like that. He's talking to the, you know, his audience. Who are you to neglect anyone, even the homeless person who is strung out on drugs? They still need a need. They need that fix, amen, so that they don't go out and hurt themselves or hurt somebody else, because there's an addiction inside of them and they need it. So give it to them. They ask you for the money, give it to them so they don't have to rob you or rob some elderly person. And I started looking at that in a whole different perspective, amen. So when people come to me, I'm always making sure that I have change or dollars, single dollars, and I have it so I don't have to go, you know, be safe and not turn my back and go into my pocketbook, but I have money right there, and I make sure I give. And, you know, I give them, you know, God loves you. You know, I don't want them to see me. I want them to see the God inside of me. God loves you, and sometimes that opens up a whole conversation for them. So that's why I have this passion for what you're doing. I'm grateful for your experience. I'm telling you, because if you did not go through that, you would know how to minister to the people and be effective the way that you are. You're going to help so many wonderful women and so many families. So talk about the book, From Trash to Treasure. Tell us a little bit about the book and how we can get a copy of it today.
Okay, amen. Before I do mention the book, I want to say this is it's really interesting that you mentioned the door opening for us to be able to minister to people. But my husband, Minister Bobby, he's very interesting to me because we both have a passion for the homeless, and he you know, he does lunches and things like that, and takes it out to the people in downtown Atlanta and ministers, just, you know, prays for them, ministers to them. But what's interesting is that when the very first time we got together to really just talk before we officially started dating, it seemed like every time we were together, somebody homeless would come up to us and ask him for change or money, right?
Yeah.
And so he would give the money, and then he would say, "Hey, do you know the Lord?" And then he would begin to dialogue with them about it, and we would pray with them. And, you know, if God gave me a word for them, I would give it. But the day he proposed to me in the mall in Miami, he gave me a bracelet first before he went into the whole, you know, will you marry me thing. And right in the middle of the proposal, who walks up to us but a man asking for money in the middle of the mall.
Wow.
And we kind of feel that that's a seal on us, that God is really going to use us in the homelessness ministry, because, yeah, who does, like, you know, who gets approached in the middle of a proposal to give them money?
Yes.
To give them money. So it was really interesting. But anyway, I just wanted to say that, yeah, when any opportunity opens up, make sure that we are kind of open to what it is that God wants to do, because we don't know what he wants to say to an individual. And also, when you're in your local store and you see that they have these bags, or, you know, donate $5 for this or that or the other, make an effort to do something. Make an effort to do something.
Yeah.
If you're looking for a place to sow your money, you know, everybody has a passion. Some people do cancer. Some people do AIDS. Some people do things.
Mm-hmm.
But if you don't know where to place your seed, look for a homeless authority or a homeless organization or a ministry that is helping to feed them, and sow money. Because a lot of us are hesitant about sowing. But if you can be a blessing to them, the people who are already helping, you don't have to go open another organization. Just help those who are already helping. All right, that's all I want to say. Anyway, From Trash to Treasure. Yes, God actually gave me the vision for that book when I was in the Tom D. Austin House, which is the transitional center for that I lived in, the apartments. And the idea was, do a campaign for a book, sell it for little or nothing, maybe $3.99, $5.99, something like that, and call it DHHB, which is Downloads to Help the Homeless and the Broken, right? And ultimately, the goal was to share the testimony, to talk about the experience, to talk about what got me there, to talk about the hopelessness I felt in the situation, and talk about how God used that as a deliverance mechanism for me, and to help people to be encouraged through their time of homelessness. In other words, changing your perspective of the situation. Most of the time we go into situations with a black or white mentality. Either it's too hard or it's too easy. Either I can make it or I can't. But I need you to be able to have an understanding that even through the toughest process, even through homelessness, even through addiction, even through abusive relationships, there is light at the end of the tunnel if you just change your thoughts. The Bible tells us to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. And so, in other words, when you're in a situation that says everything is hopeless, I don't have no hope, I can't make it through this, if you change your mind to say every single day, that this is just another day. I may not feel great today, but God, I give you glory anyway. What lesson do you want me to get out this day?
Mm-hmm.
If you change your perspective of what is happening, then you can make it through, first of all, the situation a lot easier. Because no situation is totally hopeless when you have God on your side. So you have to have that rapport, that energy to say, you know, God, yes, I'm crying today, but I still trust you. What's the reason for this? What do you want me to learn from this? What do you want me to gain from this? And when you begin to do that, and this is what we talk about in the book, after sharing the experience, if you change your perspective, here it is, the trash, all the stuff that you've been through, all the dirt, all the drama, all the issues, all the addictions, all the stuff that you've been through, and now we have to get to the treasure part of things. Okay, God, what is it that you're trying to teach me? Okay, Lord, what do I need to affirm today? Because I'm tired of being upset. I'm tired of being angry. I'm tired of being mad. I'm tired of sitting here and not getting anywhere. God, how do I change my perspective of the situation? And so From Trash to Treasure became a downloadable book on the website, but it's also now a tangible book. So when I go ministering from location to location, I can take it. There are people, like I said again, homelessness doesn't have a face. So you give your testimony and somebody walks up to you dressed to the nines, right? And she says, I'm homeless right now, and I understand your story. And they get a book, and you can write a personal message. And it may not mean a whole lot to you, but you never know what it's going to mean to them. So the experience of what I've been through, along with the revelations of God, is within this book. It definitely, I believe, is an inspiration to many people, and it ministers to people in whatever situation they're in, whether homeless, whether discouraged, whether heartbroken, whatever it is. It's about changing your perspective so you can see every experience from a God perspective.
Yes, love it, love it. And I just put it up on my page. Amen. It's on the wall with your beautiful face so that people know who are the author and especially get a copy of the book. And you have many books out, amen, on Amazon.com. We definitely will put that up in our fan page on Facebook, which is the Morning Glory Ivy of Hope. We are so grateful that you stopped by, and please do not allow this to be the last time that you visit us. And if you missed any portion of this show, amen, I would love for you to check out Shalona, amen, the treasurer, Coach Treasure, amen, because she does so many wonderful, inspiring things for women. Amen. You can always go to her lovely, it's a beautiful website. It's www.lovewalkoutreach.org. And let her know that you heard about her ministry and what God has done for her. And make sure that you purchase a copy of a book. Purchase a few copies. Amen. And give it out to someone. You just don't know how empowering that might be for them. They need that. Amen. They need it, and we know that God makes no mistakes. So we want to thank you once again for being with us. God bless you.
Amen. God bless you.
Just know he's in control. speaking. Everything you go through is designed to keep you reaching towards him. Just keep enduring, cause the joy of the Lord is your strength. Believe me, I know it seems easier said than done, but when your head is hung, just trust the Son. He'll provide you peace. Do his word, and at the same time his word speaks to calm the seas. So just sit back and put your mind at ease, knowing that God's got it, cause our God is sovereign over the clouds and problems. Stress and let down, let someone let God solve it. You can't do it on your own, I promise.
Hello, 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 listeners. Oh, my goodness gracious. I don't know where you are, but where me and Minister Kim, we're totally under the snow. Ooh. Well, this gives us a lot of time to catch up with a lot of our listeners and do a lot of different things. Well, this is the part of the show where we talk about the different things that happen in our hood. Not only our hood here in New York City, but your hood that's all the way on the other side in California, Texas. I mean, I got a couple of things that are happening all over the place. But the first thing I want to say is that, first of all, we want to be able to support you and your cause. We want to be able to support you and what's going on in your community. So please make sure you inbox us, excuse me, email us. Well, you can inbox us on Facebook, but we prefer you to email us whatever your event is. Make it in words or just send us a flyer. If you send us a flyer, it'd be better because then we can put it up on our page. So email us at hope@themorningglory.org. Hope@themorningglory.org. So let's see what's going on in the hood. Let me look at my little list because, you know, we got like lots and lots and lots of stuff going on in the hood. So, as you know, most things are probably canceled. So, those are here on the north side. I'm talking from North Carolina up because we're all under snow. So, make sure you check in with everybody. Let's see what's going on my list here. Most events already said that one. Okay. So, Tanya here, she writes, get your bling on through January 30th. 35% off of, 25% off of her jewelry line. Now, she has here an email, which, as y'all all know, I did not get my new pair of glasses. So, the email is, there we go, tdhigginsfifty@gmail.com. I'm going to say that one more time because that was like a lot to say. tdhigginsfifty@gmail.com. So for more information about that, please visit us on Facebook. Now the next thing, as you know, every third Saturday at Kingdom Life Temple, we have a pantry going on. So make sure that you come out, 3030 Jerome Avenue, right here in the Bronx. And tell them you heard about it here on the Voices of Hope. Yay! Now, Inspired Word Institute Spring Resurrection. That's wrong right there. Registration. See this? Don't you love it? Reality Radio. Registration starts. Let me look at the flyer and give you all the information off of it. So this is, yes, Kingdom Life Temple, where Minister Kim and I go. Shout out to our pastor, Dr. Thomas S. Cooper, and our first lady. Woo-hoo. Well, as I said, registration is on. Classes start February 2nd. I don't know what's going on with me. I'm so excited. Anyway, guys, y'all can check out what classes are available and the course and everything at Inspired Word. bc.bigcartel.com. inspiredwordbc.bigcartel.com, or you can call the church at 347 767 5508, and the extension you want to press is 1. Again, the number is 347-767-5508, extension 1. Okay, Minister Kim, listen, I got to go get my glasses because this is not working. All this digital stuff. Okay, so Tracy Bio, as you know, she was on our show a couple of weeks ago, and she has Let's Get Physical, which is happening tomorrow. Now, I don't know if it's actually going to happen tomorrow, but I need each and every one of you to go to her website, which is tracybio.org, just to make sure, because, you know, she's only 2 hours away from us in regards to travel, so you know the snow probably hit them up. As well as also, I want to tell you about the I Am Me, I Am Special. I'm so sorry about that. I Am Special Inspirational Teleconference. They have it every single Sunday. Yay! And the call in number, let me see, where's my glasses at? Lord. Okay, well, the flyer that I'm looking at doesn't have it on there, but guess where it is, yes, on our Facebook page as well as our website. So you can go there and get the information. And let's see what else is happening. Now, all righty, Justin, Texas. Okay, so I told you we do things all over the world. So Texas, Norris J, I know you guys know who he is because he's been on our show several occasions. Well, he's presenting his ING Music Presents Love Notes. Yes, that will be taking place February 13th, 2016. You can go to injmusic.com, and look at the information. See if you want to buy some tickets. Yay, because this is going to be fine dining and live entertainment, or you can just call at 682-232-4-I-N-J. Again, the number is 682-232-4-I-N-J. And let's see, here in New York, we also have something going on for Valentine's Day. So we have the Poetry Melody, which is taking place at the Inkwell Jazz and Club, Jazz and Comedy Club in Brooklyn at 1165 Bedford Avenue off of Putnam. That's taking place on Friday the 12th. So that's a couple of days before Valentine's Day for all of you guys who need something to do special for that day. So you can go, either you're in Texas and you can check out the INJ music production, or you are here in New York City and you can check out the Poetic Melody. Now remember, all the information that we have shared with you today will be on our Facebook page, so you can go there. Again, I just want to stress so much that we want to be able to support what you're doing in your community. So in order for us to support it, in order for us to even bring it out to everybody, to let them know anything, you have to email us and give us your information so that we can shout you out and make sure that you send us a flyer so we can put it up on our Facebook page. So email us at hope@themorningglory.org, hope@themorningglory.org. I'm going to hand the mic over to Minister Ken because this is like her favorite part of the show. She loves to give out shout out. So, Minister Ken, it's on you.
Ah, thank you so much, Radio Angel, for that wealth of information. What's happening in the hood? And remember what she said, that you need to send us the information so we can promote you. We love to be the one to promote your information to share with our family and friends right here on our weekly live show, The Morning Glory International Voices of Hope, Blog Talk Radio. Like she said, this is my favorite time of the show. I love to celebrate you. No matter what you do, whether it's a birthday, an anniversary, if your children got an award, whatever they're doing, I love to celebrate you. So today we are going to honor those those who've had a birthday or coming up birthday. And if we didn't get you, guess what? You got to email us at hope@themorningglory.org. Here we go. Here we go. Family, with further ado, we want to wish Tiffany Peterson, who had her birthday on January 20th, and Glenn Drummond, who also had her birthday. They had a lot of birthdays on January 20th, and Coco Morris John. I want to wish my nephew Isaiah Bailey birthday, a happy birthday, which was on January 21st, and Minister Sharon Holloway, amen, from Kingdom Life Temple, as well as Sharita Berry. And on the 23rd, which is today, guess who's having a birthday? None other than Bonita Lynch, who turned 49 today. On this wonderful day, amen, we want to give her a shout out in each and every one of them. I can't leave the show without shouting out my baby girl, my grandbaby that calls me Nana, Valen Ruffarel. Amen. She'll be 5 years old on Monday, January 25th. I love her. I appreciate all of you and all of our birthday for January. I wish you a happy birthday. Celebrate it. Love on you and let others love on you. God bless you. Happy birthday. Happy birthday. I love it. I love it. We have so many people who are celebrating birthdays around the globe, and we definitely want to make sure that we don't miss you. So please, please, please let us know once again when you are having a birthday by emailing us your birthday information at hope@themorningglory.org. Or you can always inbox us if you're a fan of us on Facebook at The Morning Glory, IV of Hope. Now, this is the time when we look into our leadership corner. We have an awesome woman of God, amen, a young lady, Kimani Dash. We call her Ask Kimani here on Blog Talk Radio, which leads us into ministering to our young people. I told you, you know, we have something here for everyone, amen. So today she's going to give us some information concerning like-minded people to teach our young people the importance of surrounding themselves with like-minded people. So without further ado, let's listen to Ask Kimani this morning.
Good morning. This is Kimani from Ask Kimani. I'm coming to you today just to share some light on a topic that is dear to me, that is surrounding yourself with like-minded people. I'm going to share three tips. The first one, understanding the signs of negative people. The second one, when to let them go. And the third one, surrounding yourself with like-minded people. The first tip, understanding the signs of negative people. We have to keep a lookout for people that are never satisfied. They're normally the complainers, the ones that never see the good in a little discomfort. They're the ones that don't like the outcome of any situation. They always seem to find the bad, even if the outcome of the situation is good. Then we have the ones that are always down, the ones that are sad and never happy, the ones that shoot down anyone's idea that goes against what they thought the plan should be. These are the ones that always believe that they're right and that anybody else is wrong. They never want to see the good in a person. They always want to bring them down before they bring themselves down. Once we figure out who those people are, we have to figure out how we are going to let them go. I think the best way to let a person go, if they're negative, is just to let them know that they don't fit in the situation or the plan that you see for yourself. Once you have successfully let them go, you really have to look for the people who are like-minded, the ones who encourage, motivate, and even assist with figuring out the bigger picture. These people are more likely to increase the productivity of any situation, any job, any plans for your future. So I want to pose this question to you guys. Are you surrounded by like-minded people? And if not, how are you going to do so?
It's always all about you right here on the Morning Glory International Community Development, where we bring you breakfast for your soul as well as praying moms each week. Amen. For more information about our prayer call ministry, please go to our website, which is www.themorningglory.org. We never leave this broadcast without giving you an opportunity to get to know God, to get reconnected with God. We encourage you, if you're not saved, to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today by confessing your sins and confessing that He is your Lord and Savior. Once you have done that, I do encourage you to join a church, get into fellowship, covenant relationship, so that you can know God and grow in God and be the light for God, be the ambassador for Him, to minister to the brokenhearted, to the homeless and the hopeless individuals that we come across each and every day of our lives. What an awesome show that we had when we talked about walking in love with our very own prophetess, Shalona, the treasurer, Williams McClement, today on our show. I want you to remember what she's all about and what God has done for her by being a part of Love Walk Outreach. Amen. Go check it out, lovewalkoutreach.org, and let her know that you heard about her, her experience, her testimony, what God has brought her through, and now how she's reaching out to others to be a blessing, to be the porter from one situation to the next, from one organization to the next. Amen. There are so many people that are on the street. Remember what I mentioned earlier. If you know someone that needs a coat, a cover, a blanket, gloves, scarf, hat, whatever it is, please, please, please don't forget about them. And if you are not able to do it in your area and you would like to donate and be a part of our cult drive here, then guess what? You can always donate by going to our donation button that's on our website. Again, we want to thank you for being a part of our radio show today. And before I leave you, I got a shout out to our leadership corner. Didn't she do a wonderful job as she ministered to us, especially to the young people, about surrounding themselves with like-minded people? Stay tuned for next week, amen, as she takes it to part two when she talks to us from a positive perspective, why we should be surrounding ourselves with like-minded people. I'm going to tell you, young people got something to say, and guess what? We, the older generation, need to listen to what they have to say, and she definitely brought it in. Anything that you would like to say to Ask Imani, you can definitely email her right here at the Morning Glory International Voices of Hope. We love you and we appreciate you. And remember to stay inside, you know, have some warm cocoa, you know, get some movies out, spend some time with God, spend some time with your family. But please, if you don't need to go out, don't go out today. Stay at home, get your rest. We love you and we hope to see your numbers and hear your voice next week on the Morning Glory International Voices of Hope. Peace out.
Hey. 1, 2, 1, 2.
You're listening to the Morning Glory International Voice of Hope with Minister Kim, providing you with that gleam of hope.
Let nothing hold me.